Rebirth of the Five String Pipa, the story of Chen Yu's project to recreate lost instrument, produced by Li Lin at Yankou.
Dad, what's the instrument in this picture? It's beautiful.
That's the five-string pipa.
Should we play the five-string pipa today, Dad?
No, I'm afraid we can't.
But why not, Dad?
Because the instrument was lost in the 8th century, but now no one knows how to play it.
What a pity. I would love to play it.
Well, maybe one day you can make your own five-string pipa.
This conversation took place in China many years ago. The little girl is Cheng Yu, now a musician resident in London. She has recreated the five-string pipa and innovatively developed it for 21st century use.
She's not just reconstructing what was there before, but working creatively and producing a new modern instrument.
Having this extra low string gives it a very kind of expressive possibility. It blends very well with some of these traditional instruments.
A very, very exciting thing.
Cheng Yu and I are now developing a kind of interesting performance relationship. I don't know if she would say if she's learned as much from me as I have from her, but I've certainly got a lot out of exploring the Asian sensibility to music with her.
I was thinking one day, if I have the opportunity, I will make the five-string pipa. So after these many years, my dream is finally become true.
The pipa, or Chinese lute, has a history dating back over 2,000 years. Here's Dr. Keith Howard, a reader in music from the School of Oriental and African Studies in London.
The pipa as an instrument originates in the Middle East, where we know it as the oud. And of course the oud comes westwards and eventually becomes our lute, with sort of development as guitars and different types of guitars throughout Europe. But the oud went eastwards as well, along the Silk Road, but also across other land routes into China, where it became the pipa. Moving further east from that, it becomes the pipa in Korea and the biwa in Japan. And in all of those three East Asian states, so China, Japan, Korea, it's been known for the last millennium or more. Now, in China, it was associated both with a military repertory and a civil repertory, and particularly associated with a sort of internationalizing period in Chinese history, which goes through the first few decades CE, so up to the sort of Tang and Sung times. By the Tang dynasty, which is 618 to 907 AD, there were two instruments being used, a five-string pipa and a four-string pipa. The five-string one falls out of favour, and nobody knows really why, but around the 8th or the beginning of the 9th century. And after that, it's only the four-string pipa that continues. And we've still got the four-string pipa today.
Cheng Yu's project to bring back the lost five-string pipa has won her three major British awards. She was awarded a commission fund by Women in Music in November 2002, which enabled her to travel to China and Korea to reconstruct the instrument and work on a modern design, and also to collaborate with composers. Further grants in 2003 and 2004 have enabled research, construction of the pipa, further performances, and a CD recording.
I went to China and Korea to see and to find resources how the five-string pipa was looked in the past. Of course, the Korean pipa existed until the 1930s, and the five-string pipa in Japan did not go anywhere very far. It kept very much like the old Tang style, mainly used for storytelling. So, unfortunately, the Chinese five-string pipa lost during the 8th century and never played again. But we have the historical models which are preserved in the Shosoin Treasure House in Japan. And we have that historical source. Luckily, we also have this five-stringed scores, has 27 pieces called Wuxianpu in the Japanese source. So the current five-stringed pipa is not just based on the Tang Dynasty's five-stringed pipa model. It is my intention is to convey the historical elements and modern developments from the existing Chinese, Korean, and Japanese four- and five-stringed pipa to create a modern five-stringed pipa for contemporary use.
One of the greatest poets of the Tang Dynasty, Bai Zhuyi, beautifully described the sound of the pipa. The bold strings rattled like splatters of sudden rain. The fine strings hummed like lovers' whispers, chattering and pattering, pattering and chattering, as pearls, large and small, on a jade plate fall.
You know, four-stringed pipa, we have a description about its sound. It's like, we call it Jin Shi Zhi Sheng. It's the quality, the sound quality is like stone and metal, very powerful and very dramatic. So the four string modern pipa have the tuning is A D E A. My five stringed pipa, I added one lower string. So you can see it's E-A-D-E-A. And also you can tell the sound is much more open and more mellow with more dynamic. The sonic is much more mellow and deep. In terms of a range of music, it's already existed four octave in range compared to the four-stringed modern pipa. Four-stringed pipa now is 3.5 music range. The other thing I think most special for this current pipa, five-stringed pipa, is the two sound holes. I made it like two crescent moon-like sound hole. It actually brings out much more resonance and sound compared to the four-stringed pipa, which is, you can see, it hasn't got open sound holes on the board. So that's a major difference. And the other thing about the five-stringed pipa is it brings out much more multiphonic effects when you play harmonics, and also give you much more potential to play chords and of course intervals. And so I guess it should have its own characteristics for this instrument. Five-stringed pipa project is still very new. It is still in its development. I mean, a development, an establishment of an instrument will take a long time to reach its maturity. I do think that five-stringed pipa at this stage still yet to be matured, and I'm still experimenting in terms of construction of the instrument itself, and also develop more repertoires. And for the five-stringed pipa premiere, we had only strictly four new pieces commissioned to four cross-culture, very different style of composers. We had one composer from America who is a lover of Chinese music, especially Qin music. His name is Stephen Dido. His style of composing a new piece is to based on the Tang Dynasty module idea.
The first one we did was actually a very Western piece. It was very much in my own personal style, and it was something that was inspired by actually another peepaw player friend of mine. She heard the sound of some wind chimes outside, and she said, "Oh, music, very beautiful." So I thought, well, you know, that could be the beginning of something. And so I started writing a piece involving the sound of wind chimes on peepaw. And then that's the piece I ended up writing for Cheng Yu. And it starts and ends with harmonics emulating the wind chime sound. And it's in between, it's lots of guitar and peepaw roaring back and forth.
So I was always asking him, where is melody? I mean, this piece, it just have no melody. And then, oh, there's a lot of melody at different levels, because Chinese people and Western musicians, we have different concepts about melody. We think melody is kind of a very natural progression of notes. But for Western people, the big leap is also melody. And so that's a very good experience. I played this duet with the five-string peepa and the guitar.
Three other women composers from around the globe wrote pieces with very different musical influences, demonstrating the new peepa's capacity to bring together diverse cultures.
And we also had Xu Yi, who is a French-based Chinese composer. Her music is combined classical Western music with classical traditional Chinese elements, for example, qin music, very free. And very loose structure, and kind of warped with the Western, very strict and very rhythmic structure. So it's such a contrast, and that piece worked very well. Then another piece we had is Middle East flavor, composed by an English composer who really initially knew really little about Chinese music. So it's a big challenge for her as well. Her name is Gillian Carkers. Then we also had a Korean composer composed music based on the link and the cultural similarity and elements between China and Korean. And that piece is for the five-string peepa and daegun, a very low and big sound of Korean flute.
The new five-string peepa certainly has a distinctive sound, but what exactly makes the project so significant? Here's Keith Howard.
We've got hints of what the music would have been like in Tang times when the five-string instrument was there. So to rediscover that music is something that many Chinese and foreign scholars have been trying to do for decades. And to add an instrument that's in some way trying to recreate the old instrument is very sensible. By adding the fifth string, you can get more of that bass register to make the instrument more a soloistic instrument, which is particularly useful for composers. Again, with composers, contemporary composers like using a lot of ornaments rather than just plain melodies. But the four-string pipa is weak at them. Adding a fifth string can enhance that and actually just make the instrument more suitable as an accompanying instrument in theatrical performances for voices and everything else. It's just more versatile. By changing the pipa, essentially Chong Yu has addressed an issue of concern to composers. And so assuming that music continues to be composed in future generations, then there really is a place for an instrument such as the five-string pipa, not to get rid of the four-string pipa, but just to allow composers that extra versatility and flexibility in writing for an instrument.
Chong Yu's five-string pipa is still very new, so what does the future hold for the instrument? Here's the musician Jan Hendrikser, who has collaborated with Chong Yu, playing the flute alongside the pipa.
I think, as Chong Yu demonstrated with this program, I think there are many creative possibilities that can be drawn out from musicians through the interaction of new approaches to making music, which the discussions and the collaborations which come about when musicians from different cultural or musical backgrounds come together, is often, if it's managed in the right way, is often very interesting and creative. I think there's a huge amount to be done, and a huge amount of creative possibilities that are open up by having this instrument.
For my next plan, I would like to have more new compositions composed by more experienced composers who know more about the pipa techniques. I want to show more about the potential and the capacity of these individual instruments. And so I need more solo compositions, first of all. And also, of course, we need more players, composers, academics, promoters and societies as a whole to support, to encourage this new project. And I also want to bring the fruit of this project back to China.
Chong Yu has finally achieved her childhood ambition. We hope that her future plans will also come true.